In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our meditation for this night is from Psalm 38, and especially what it teaches us about confession and absolution. Last week we heard from Psalm 32 about how there is harm done to our soul when we do not confess our sin. Now this week, from David's psalm, Psalm 38, we learn that there is also consequence for our body and our life. This week we have a flood of problems that weigh us down, according to David. No health to the body, overwhelmed by guilt, festering wounds, bowed down, searing pain, feeble, crushed, failing strength, and the list could go on and on. Our psalm presents the picture of a man who has been deeply wounded and crushed by his sinfulness. But David's problems, and ours, get even worse. Not only does he experience it in his body, but his friends have abandoned him because of his sin. And his enemies have used David's weakness to try and destroy him. What a picture of the life under sin. Sometimes with sin, it's like the festering sore that the entire world can see, yet somehow we can't. For example, our pride won't let us see the plank that's sticking out of our own eye. Peter could not see that his pride had led him, in today's Passion reading, to a great fall by denying Christ to the world. He boasted that he would never do such a thing, and yet we know that he would do it exactly as the Lord had said. In the same way, we are also spiritually blind and dumb by nature, and incapable of seeing our sin for what it truly is. And then, God has his way with us through his law and his gospel. He reveals to us the reality. David in our psalm has God's law heavy upon him. He says that the arrows of the law have sunk into him, and the Lord's hand has come down on him. The law has awakened in him the knowledge of his sinfulness. As St. Paul says in Romans 3, through the law comes knowledge of sin. Plus, David now sees, looking back, how his sin has destroyed his life. Probably written late in life, he's saying his health is gone. His friends have abandoned him. Even his enemies lay at his gate. How did he say that in particular? Yes, those who seek my life lay their snares, and those who seek my hurt speak of ruin and meditate treachery all day long because of his sin. Yet at the bottom of all this is the reality of sin and forgiveness. St. Augustine once said regarding this psalm, "But happy is he who is wretched after this manner. Happy is he who recognizes his sin in the way that David did." Augustine is echoing the words of Jesus himself, "Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted." David mourns and laments his sins. He recognizes the depth of his sinfulness and the harm that his sinful nature has done to him, not just in his soul, but even in his body, his relationship to friend and to neighbor. But we also ought to hear ourselves in this psalm. Question is, do we know the depth of our sinfulness? Do we recognize what our sinful nature has done to us? Do you see yourself in this psalm, Psalm 38? Has God's law had its way with your heart so that you, with David, mourn your sinfulness and fear God's wrath? Maybe, maybe not. We live in an age where these sorts of psalms get sidelined because we don't want to read them and learn about ourselves. Truly, in this world, no one is responsible for anything. It's my parents' fault. That's the way I was raised. That's just who I am. It's in my genes. Whatever you say. But as we learn from the psalm and through the whole scriptures, God's law will not let you or I pass the buck. There's no saying that it's someone else's fault. Just as David prays right there in the psalm, I confess my iniquity and I am sorry for my sin. I am ready to fall. Confession is saying the same thing about yourself that God says about you, that you are a sinner and you're not hiding from it. Notice in this psalm that David never tries to pass the blame. The troubles of his body and spirit weigh upon him, he admits, because of his sin and not someone else. That's the bold asking of prayer. Reminds me quite a bit of the woman on Sunday's gospel, in Sunday's gospel. Sometimes the Lord tells the truth. She was a Canaanite, not one of the lost sheep of the house of Israel. The Lord rebukes her. She's not a child of Israel, but as they would call the Canaanites, as they called the Gentiles, dogs, not deserving of even bread from the children's plate. That's the truth. But like David, we hold to the Lord's word. We boldly ask still, despite the truth of our nature, of who we are, an outsider, a Gentile, not deserving of what the Lord has, we boldly ask, as David, do not forsake me, O Lord. O my God, be not far from me. Make haste to help me, O Lord of my salvation. And just like David, when he confessed before Nathan after his sin with Uriah's wife, Nathan said, the Lord has put away your sin. You shall not die. This is, of course, the work of the church today in the stead of, on behalf of our Lord. And the Catechism speaks of it, not just in what we confessed earlier in the Office of the Keys, but specifically with these words. I believe that when the called ministers of Christ deal with us by his divine command, in particular when they exclude openly unrepentant sinners from the Christian congregation, and absolve those who repent of their sins and want to do better, this is just as valid and certain, even in heaven, as if Christ, our dear Lord, dealt with us himself. You notice in Luther's explanation that he speaks of God's action, his divine command, with two sides of one coin. Those two sides of God's word as a coin are the law and gospel. Therefore, the called ministers of Christ deal with God's flock by the law and the gospel. Binding the sins to those who do not repent, that's God crushing them with the law. But forgiving those who repent, God building anew in them faith and life by the gospel. Through the lens of the law, you no doubt by now have seen yourself in this psalm. Perhaps you would describe your life as crushed, broken, alone, forsaken, apart from God, according to your sin. And you, like David, then are left only with the cry of the woman on Sunday, or with David, make haste to help me, O Lord of my salvation. O Lord, Son of David, have mercy on me. Quickly, make haste, do it soon. And the Lord does. He forgives your sins. But notice also these psalms are God's word. And by that I mean, they were prayed by Jesus. They indeed are the words that were upon Jesus' own lips. And it's not hard to imagine that this psalm, Psalm 38, was, if not out loud, being spoken by Jesus there in the garden of Gethsemane. And as he was betrayed and led to the chief priests, and as he was scourged and mocked, spit upon, and crucified. Hear again the psalm, but think of it in terms of Jesus praying the psalm. O Lord, rebuke me not in your anger, nor discipline me in your wrath. For your arrows have sunk into me, and your hand has come down on me. There is no soundness in my flesh because of your indignation. There is no health in my bones because of their sin. For my iniquities have gone over my head, like a heavy burden, they are too heavy for me. My wounds stink and fester because of my foolishness. I am utterly bowed down and prostrate. All the day I go about mourning, for my sides are filled with burning, and there is no soundness in my flesh. I am feeble and crushed. I groan because of the tumult of my heart. O Lord, all my longing is before you. My sighing is not hidden from you. My heart throbs, my strength fails me, and the light of my eyes is also gone from me. My friends and companions stand aloof from my plague, and my nearest kin stand far off. Those who seek my life lay their snares. Those who seek my hurt speak of ruin and meditate treachery all day long. It's not hard to hear our Lord in this psalm. Reminds us of the words of Isaiah chapter 53, which he calls the suffering servant. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. And Paul wrote, "For our sake he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God." When Christ died at the cross, sounds like David's words, "Oh my God, why have you forsaken me?" The same Jesus who shed those great drops of blood in agony for you in the Garden of Gethsemane experienced this psalm for you, prayed this psalm for you, and prays even with you now. So let's think of the psalm again, not just in terms of David or you or Jesus, but also in terms of confession and absolution. Remember what Jesus gave up for you. He took your sin upon himself. He groans, he suffers, he bleeds. He has no health in his body. He is abandoned by his friends, betrayed by his disciples. His enemies rise up around him. His back is filled with searing pain. His strength fails. The light left his eyes in death. The one who had no sin bore that sin, the wretched pain and death for you on the cross. Jesus suffered the penalty for the law in your place, and thereby grants to you the gift of holy absolution, that is, forgiveness. When you come before the pastor and confess your sins, all of Christ's work on the cross comes to bear for you. He takes that iniquity, that sin from you, and suffers it for you there at the cross, personally and individually. And thus he says to you, just as he said to Peter after he rose, "I forgive you your sins." Those words of absolution ring out with sweetest gospel. "In the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen." Today you do suffer the consequences for your sin. There are earthly ones, bodily ones. They do hurt and harm your friendships and your relationship to your neighbor. You still hurt. There are still aches and pains and even worse consequences. But in the end, these consequences have no teeth. Ultimately, they no longer can harm you, for you are in Christ, and his words of forgiveness release you from your debt. Whatever may come your way, whatever pain and suffering, even death that you suffer, they are no longer eternal, for you have been forgiven, and eternal life awaits you. Those words that Christ says to you, those words of forgiveness, were bought indeed by a terrible price, by the death of God's Son. But God's not upset. He gives to you forgiveness for the sake of Christ and does it freely with joy. Peter denied the Lord three times and the Lord forgave him three times. So also he claims you as his own every time you confess and are forgiven. You are not abandoned, you are his. And so we pray this psalm with David and with Jesus, indeed with all the hosts of heaven. Make haste to help me, O God of my salvation. We pray this with repentant joy because we know that God comes and he forgives your sins and makes your life anew. In the strong name of Jesus, amen.